Blog Talk Radio.
My refuge and my fortress protects me from the wicked's deadly ordinance. Snakes master psychology, phony people studying fakeology. Y'all see, I'm a god, it's not ego. Psalms 82, verse 6. Even JC know who be me. Lion face crew be deep. Soldiers for y'all, screw these streets in front like the heat goat. That's how I leap, waiting on the master. In the meantime, studying for my masters. Building houses, growing college, sharpening my sword, and I'm cutting up scholars. Raising my sons, searching for the wife. Yeah, I pray he find a virtuous one. Stand for justice, relieve the oppressed. Call on Yah, deliver the fatherless, let Israel be blessed.
Keeping my eyes on Yah, I won't let up. I'm strong and bold, I won't give up. When I fall, He came and saved me. The righteous fall, don't let up. Every time we gon' get up. When I call, He came and saved me.
Yo, when the poor oppress the poor, it's like the rain, leaving no food, just pain. But Yah's name I exclaim, feed my brethren wisdom. Yah willing, He will do the same. Shame and calamity on my family, trapped in captivity many years ago, holding the calico. Never know how my light glowed till I stepped through them two doors. Left church, cause that was just fool's gold. My eyes the color of onyx. Yah's message came to me as clear as you telephonically alerting me. He opened the scrolls and fed His word to me. Now I'ma give to those who lost, whose spirit is froze, the knowledge of how they conquer their foes. Enemies be hatred itself. Something dangerous like this crack is wealth. Let's leave Babylon and let Yah be our help.
Keeping my eyes on Yah.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another week to bring to you His great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Oh, that is Daniel. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I thank and praise the mighty Yah for keeping us and bringing us to another week, that we might bring to you his great, holy, sanctified, and exalted words. I want to praise the mighty Yah for not only bringing us to another week, but also another month. Here we are, this day, this evening, this night, in our 12th month of the second year. And not just the 12th month, but we are in the 12th month, the first day of the second year. This is the last month of the year. Praise the mighty Yah for allowing us to see it. We will be celebrating our new year, March the 26th. This is the day of the new month. And then we will begin the third year of Yah's Sabbath of years. And there's a lot of things that we have in store for this upcoming year, this third year. Or better yet, Yahweh have a lot of things in store for our people. Tonight we will be discussing the judgment of 12, saying that we are in the 12th month. The Creator lets us know every word of Elohim is pure. And he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And let me show you this rather than just quote it in the book of Proverbs. Let us turn there for a second so you can see some of the things that we are quoting so you can memorize it for yourself. This is what it says in the book of Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of Elohim is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove you, and you be found a liar. And don't feel bad. All of us have been found liars at some point, at some time or another. We all have. But many in our community refused to humble themselves and tell the truth. And this is something that Yahweh do not like or appreciate. So we're going to talk about the judgment of 12. Little do people know, when I teach on certain various things, it's only because it's in the scriptures. I'm not teaching nothing that's not in the scriptures. And the word 12 is in the scriptures. I know you just see it as a number. But Yahweh said every word of Elohim is pure, because this is a word, but it's also a number. And I'm going to show you what this 12 actually means and why is it relevant to know about. As a matter of fact, once you begin to study this, you will find that this is the third most important number in the scriptures. And this number represents something that if you knew who you are, then you would understand what 12 literally and actually mean. And this is the first thing you're going to understand and know about 12. This is the first thing. And I just want you to see this. We're going to start reading in the book of 2 Kings 25. And this is all predicated. We're talking about the judgment of 12. But it's predicated on the fact that a lot of things our people never even studied, never even looked at, never even considered. And you don't know how this 12 will, is, and has affected our people. It has a great relevance to our people, but we don't know. But tonight we're going to show you. So, for example, in the book of 2 Kings 25, and watch what it says in the 27th verse. And I'll start there. And it came to pass the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign. In other words, it's marking time based on this evil king, when he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. He seemed to be evil, but he's releasing one of the kings of Judah. And he spoke kindly to him, not only taking him out of prison, but he spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. In other words, he took this king Jehoiakim that was taken into captivity, taken into Babylon, took this king out of prison, restored him back to his throne, and set him above the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given to him by the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. Now, why would this king do such a thing? And who is Jehoiakim, that king of Judah, that it would be done for him? See, oftentimes we look at the person, we look at the player, but we never look at the time. The scripture said there's a time and a season for everything. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. In other words, it's not who is being born, it's not what is dying, but it's the time they came in and the time they went out. And we never, ever consider the time, the relevance of the time. And I'm here teaching you about 12. When this all took place, it was in the 12th month. Why is that relevant? Well, first of all, what it's going to show you in this is how Yahweh would use the judgment of 12. Whether it's the 12th month, the 12th born, the 12th generation, the 12th tribe, or the 12th month. It's going to let you know the various things Yahweh would do at 12. And what do 12 literally actually represents, since 12 is written in the scriptures. As you can see, when they talk about the 12th month, it ain't written just with a 1 and a 2. It's spelled out, 12th month. Why? Because it's a word. That's the name of this month, the 12th month. And certain things happen in this month, certain things has happened in this month, and certain things will happen in this month that's relevant to you and I. And that's what we're searching out. Watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah 52. And I may add, Jeremiah 52 is the same thing as 2 Kings 25. All Jeremiah doing is prophesying what will happen, and then Kings, it actually happened. But I just want you to see it. Jeremiah 52, verse 31, and this is what it says. And it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, letting you know the same thing, in the 12th month, in the 25th day of the month, that this evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. Changed his prison garments. He did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him by the king of Babylon. Every day a portion until the day of his death. All the days of his life. This was something good for Jehoiakim. Yahweh blessed him for this to take place. But little do people know, Yahweh will do a lot of things in this 12th month that our people is not aware of. And I want to read some of these things so you can understand. So this month that we're in today will not just slide past you like other months have slid past you. Because many of our people, all they doing today is looking at a moon, but they're not looking at a month. What happens in this month? Because in this month, certain things happen. Watch what it says in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 32. And that's why the Creator said every word of Elohim is pure. Watch this. I want you to see this. In the very first verse, Exodus 32 and 1. And it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month. And you know where we at today? Well, in the 12th month. You know what day of the month? The first day of the month. That the word of Yahweh came unto me saying. So in other words, Yahweh will oftentimes mark the very day, the very month, in the very year he was bringing his word to you. And let me tell you what you will never find in the Holy Scriptures. You will never find in no book that I've read, not one, when the word of Yahweh came to anyone in the 13th month. I never read that in life. We're going to read a lot of things that happened in the 12th month. But let me tell you how many things you will read in the 13th month. Not one thing. Now, wouldn't that be curious to you that you can read about every month in the scriptures and you say you go by the scriptures, but then the month that you go by, you can't read nothing about it? Not one thing? Then if you can't read one thing, then how could that be the word of Yah? When you can't even read the word of Yah coming to anyone in no 13 month. Every word of Elohim is pure. And he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And I'm here to tell you, many are. But I'm also here to tell you, we all at some point in time have been. But today, you must humble yourself. Watch this. Show you how important certain things are. Watch this in the book of Esther. I love this scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And this condemns anybody who believes and teach, which many in our community do, who believe and teach that our people can't keep the law in captivity. Watch what this says in the book of Esther, the third chapter. And let's see if these people are correct. And I'm here to tell you, not only they're not correct, they are far off the mark. In the book of Esther, the third chapter, and we're talking about, and we're going to show you and let you know what it actually means and represents. In the book of Esther, the third chapter, and I may add, we are in the 12th month of the year right now. Many of our other people who go by 13 months, they in a 13th month, even though there's no 13th month in the scriptures. That's just like somebody in the 31st day of the month. There's no 31 days in no month. They just saying stuff, but it's not scripture. In the book of Esther, the third chapter, verse 7, in the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day, from month to month, to the 12th month, that is the month of Adar. And what is in the 12th month, they cast it from month to month all the way to the 12th month, because that's all it is anyway. It's 12 months, period. That's the only thing you're going to read in the scriptures. But watch what they cast lots about. I want you to see this thing. And Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to leave them. In other words, king, don't allow this thing. They don't keep your law. And their laws that they are keeping are just different, not just from us. Their law is different from all people. Every time I see these guys, man, they reading stuff. Every time I see these guys, they keeping a Sabbath day. Every time I see these guys, they doing something strange. They only can buy certain type of foods, drink certain type of things. Don't allow this, king. Let them be heathens just like us. And the Israelites, they were not about to be just heathens, even though that's what they wanted them to be. They wanted them to be heathens. If they refuse to be a heathen, look what the judgment was. Ninth verse. If it pleases the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. Why? Because they don't keep y'all laws and they keep the creator laws? Why they have to be destroyed? And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into king's treasuries. And oftentimes when our people see bad tidings, when our people see evil tidings on our people, bad publicity, bad news, they get flustered and sad and begin to fear. But that's when Yahweh wants you to be strong. That's when Yahweh wants you to trust in Him. That's when Yahweh wants you to show forth your fear towards Him. The scripture says, sanctify Yahweh Himself and let Him be your fear and let Him be your dread. It says, and the king took his ring from his hand, gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Yehudanite's enemy. And the king said to Haman, this silver is given to you. The people also do with them as it seems good to you. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. And that was written according to all that Haman had commanded to the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Yehudanites, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Now, this thing went out in the first month, but they just waited all the way to the end to destroy them on a certain day, the 13th day of that 12th month. But why would they wait to the 12th month? And what is it about this 12th month? We read where Jehoiakim was taken out of prison, lifted up, rose above all the kings of Babylon, even though Babylon was ruling at that time, and had a daily good diet before the king. We read where the word of Yahweh came unto Ezekiel saying in Ezekiel 32. And now we're reading in the book of Esther about a destruction that's supposed to take place of our people in the 12th month. And I'm going to show you it didn't stand and what happened. What's so important, what's so beautiful, what's so unique about this 12th month? 14th verse, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published to all people that they should be ready for that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city of Shushan was perplexed. They was confused about this thing. And let me just get to the nitty-gritty. What happened? Since we are in the 12th month, we're in our second year, but it's still the 12th month. And this is what it says in the book after the 9th chapter. So you can see this thing. And I'm going to try to get right to it. The 19th verse. This is what it says. Therefore, the Yehudanites of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month of Adar, which we already know, the month of Adar, they call that the 12th month, a day of gladness, feasting, and a good day, and of sending portions one to another. I thought this was supposed to be a day that you're supposed to kill all the Yehudanites to establish. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Yehudanites that were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Yehudanites rested from their enemies, and the month turned to them from sorrow to joy, from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Yehudanites undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written to them. So this became a day of gladness, even though it started out to be a day of death. Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Yehudanites, had devised against the Yehudanites to destroy them, and had cast pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther, whose real name is Hadassah, her Hebrew name, came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Yehudanites, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore they call these days Purim, after the name Pur. In other words, Purim was just a longer version of Pur, which means to cast lots. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come to them, the Yehudanites, watch this, the Yehudanites ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves to them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, that these days of peril should not fail from among the Yehudanites, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. And Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Yehudanite, wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. And he sent the letters to all the Yehudanites to 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with the words of peace and truth. And when did all this happen? When did they receive their victory? 12th month. In the 12th month, as Yahweh did in the past. Because there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. And this is when Yahweh gave them that great victory. But a lot of our people don't know this because they don't know the times. They were not taught the times, nor were they taught the judgment of Yahweh. This is one of Yahweh's judgments. Look what he exactly say about the 12th month in the book of 1 Chronicles, the 27th chapter. And watch what it says. 1 Chronicles 27. We're talking about the 12th month because we're in the 12th month of the second year. And yes, we know our months and we know our years. And if the other teachers want to know, all they have to do is sit down with us to see if we're telling them the truth or not. I know they'll sit in your classes and tell you they don't know this and they wrong about this and they going to end up in winter and they going to end up in... That's just rhetoric. Have them sit down with us and tell us that. Not the class, tell us. Watch what it says, 1 Chronicles 27:1. Now the children of Israel, after their number, what is their number? I told you this is not just a word, it's also a number. But now the children of Israel, after their number, and what's their number? 12. To know the chief fathers and captains of thousands and hundreds and their officers that served the king in any amount of courses which came in and went out month by month throughout all, what does the word all mean? All, A-L-L, the months of the year of every course were 24,000. What is all the months? The all the months is 12. There was no additional month that the children of Israel had. There was no additional number where they counted the daughter, the one daughter that was born to Jacob, and now you got 13. No, none of that existed. It was 12 tribes, just like it was 12 months. And we're in the 12th month as we speak, the first day of the 12th month. And let me show you who was over the 12th month so you can understand the significance of even this. Since every word of Elohim is pure. In this same First Chronicle, the 27th chapter, 15 verse. It says the 12th captain for the 12th month was Heldah the Naphtophatite of Othniel, and in his course was 24,000. And who is this Heldah? And really, in Hebrew, it's not pronounced that way. In Hebrew, it's pronounced Keldai, and this Keldai or Heldah come from the Hebrew word Keldai, which means world, worldliness. Well, I can understand now why Keldai or Heldah is the 12th captain of the 12th month. Because now he's representing the whole shebang, all 360 days, the whole world around. And what represents the whole world around? What represents everything? 12 tribes of Israel. And I want you to see that. But that's what Keldai means, world, worldliness. And watch what the scriptures say about Israel in Isaiah 45. So you can understand why Keldai is over the 12th month. In the book of Isaiah 45. And what do his name mean? Worldliness, world. And I can understand him being over the 12th month. Since that's what his name means, because this is what the Almighty said about the 12 tribes of Israel. In the book of Isaiah 45, this is what it said in the 17th verse. But Israel shall be saved in Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. See, Israel world don't come to an end like other people and other nations will, but not Israel. And even though other things will die, because there's a time to be born and there's a time to die, but Israel will have an everlasting salvation. That's the difference between Israel and everybody else. But Israel shall be saved in Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. They won't die. Why? Because they are world without end. And what do you think Keldai, Heldah, what do you think that means? Being he's over the 12th month. Furthermore, just show you this in the book of 1 Kings, the 5th chapter. In the book of 1 Kings, the 5th chapter, here it is. They had 24,000 men over the course. What course? The king course. Every month, 24,000 men. Why would you need so many men? Because the king had a lot of responsibilities. So a lot of men was needed, 24,000 a month. Why? How do you think they broke that down? Well, the same way they broke it down in 1 Kings. And let me show you 1 Kings first. And then I'll show you how they broke it down in 1 Chronicles 27 and 1. In the book of 1 Kings, the 5th chapter, and watch what it says. And Yahweh gave Solomon wisdom, as he promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon. And they two made a league together. And King Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel. And the levy was 30,000 men. In other words, that's how many people he hired to do a certain particular job. And he sent them to Lebanon. 10,000 a month by courses. A month, they were in Lebanon, and 2 months at home. And Adoniram was over the levy. So in other words, 30,000 men, but only 10,000 worked a month. And so when that first 10,000 worked, the other 20,000 was at home. And when that first 10,000 worked that first month, they only worked that first month. They skipped the second and third. Then they worked the fourth month. Then they skipped the fifth and the sixth. Then they worked the seventh month. And then they skipped the eighth and the ninth. And then they worked the tenth month. That's all they worked. Because then, when they skipped the 11th and the 12th month, they was back out, and they did this for 7 years. 10,000, then the 10,000, after they finished the first month, then another 10,000 came in fresh. They did the second month. But then they skipped the third and the fourth month and worked the fifth month and skipped the sixth and the seventh month and did the eighth month. Then they skipped the ninth and 10th month, and came back the 11th month. And, of course, they skipped the 12th and the first month and was right back at the second month where they started, because it's only 12 months in a year. And then the last 10,000 started at the third month, but they skipped the fourth and the fifth month. Then they came back to work the 6 month. Skipped this seventh and eighth. No, they started at the third, skipped the fourth and the fifth, came back to sixth, skipped the seventh and the eighth, came back to ninth, skipped the 10th and 11th, came back to work the 12th. And then they skipped the first and second and started right back at the third, where they started. And they did this for 7 years, because this is how long they took to build, because it's only 12 months. You can't divide this no other kind of way, unless you got some funny math. Chronicles, the 27th chapter, the first verse, where it said it was 24,000 every month. And that was different. All they did was 8,000 worked 10 days, and then they went home. 8,000 more worked the next 10 days, which is 20 days, down 16,000. And then another 8,000 were worked the last 10 days because it's only 30 days in a month. That's 24,000 a month by course. It's not rocket science. And I wanted you to see what will happen. And every month in the scriptures is covered. Every month. The scriptures talk about every single month and what Yahweh will do in that month. But what the scriptures don't talk about is a month that don't even exist. Namely, the 13th month. That don't exist. Not in the scriptures. But it does exist in the world. Undoubtedly. Show you how important this thing is. Watch what it says in the book of Ezekiel 47. I'm just showing you the significance of this month, because you'll go through this month and it won't mean nothing to you, but when your birthday is. But no, what about what Yah would have to be born in this month? This is the last month of the year. The scriptures say better is the end of the matter than the beginning. In the book of Ezekiel 47, watch what this says. And I start at the very first verse. Afterwards, he brought me again to the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way, out of the gate northward, and led me about the way outside to the outer gate by the way that looks eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. And afterwards, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters had risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other side. Then said he to me, these waters issue out toward the country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, wherever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live wherever the river comes. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even to Enaglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for food, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. In other words, these trees won't even die. Their leaves will not fade, nor the fruit will ever go bad. This is astonishing. Stuff will not even die. But watch what it says. And the leaf thereof for medicine. No, I went too far. Let me read that 12th verse again. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for food, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months. Not according to his moon, but according to his months. Because their waters, they issue out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Thus says Yahweh, there shall be the border whereby you shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Yourself shall have two portions. In other words, even where these trees are that won't die, this fruit that comes according to his month, where everything is healed, won't die, it's going to be in the border of the 12 tribes of Israel. Because the 12 tribes of Israel are the salvation of the world. Have you even considered? Have you even thought why it is 12? Why couldn't he have 10 tribes or 7 tribes or 5 tribes? Why 12? You never thought to consider and search out? And why would Yahweh choose 12? Watch in the book of Daniel, the 4th chapter. See, all these things are very important and very relevant. If you fear Yah, tremble at his word. Of course, if you don't tremble at his word, then I can understand this don't mean nothing to you. But if you fear Yahweh and tremble at his word, then every word of Elohim is pure. Such as this in the book of Daniel, the 4th chapter. And watch what happens. Verse 27. Therefore, king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Watch what Yahweh give to Daniel to give to Nebuchadnezzar. And it's the same advice that he's given to us. And this is something that our people still won't do, even though they read this all the time. Watch what it says. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you, and break off your sins by righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And who do that? If it may be a lengthening of your tranquility, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. And watch what it says. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of kingdom by the might of my power, the honor of my majesty? See how arrogant this man is, prideful this man is. This is what he built. when Yahweh say he ruleth in the kingdom of man and set up over it whomsoever he will. But he's going to talk about his power, his might, and his kingdom. Sound like Trump, don't it? Watch what it says, 32nd verse. Now you notice it said at the end of 12 months, this is when this happened. And they shall, 32nd verse, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle feathers and his nails like birds' claws. And when did all this happen? At the end of 12 months. Because what happens at the end of 12 months? Is there a 13 month? No. At the end of 12 months, then you got grass for oxen. Then you take your beasts back out to the field. You bring them out when it's in the wintertime. You take them in the barns, in the stalls. But when it's summertime, when it's springtime, you take them out and eat grass. And this happened at the end of 12 months because we know grass was out. This is how we know the difference. I know they got this fake phony grass today that don't die and it stays around the whole year and got our people all tricked. No, grass actually dies. And if it die, how can oxen eat? How can the cows and oxen and things eating today is some laboratory stuff. This is not the real McCoy. Furthermore, what do this 12 represent? And let me show you what it represents. What it means. Another scripture that I love. In the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter. In the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter. Seeing that we are in the 12th month, we're going to talk about 12. The first day of the 12th month. And watch what this says. In the book of Exodus 24. And I'll begin reading at the first verse. And he said to Moshe, come up unto Yahweh, you and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship you afar off. And Moshe alone shall come near Yahweh, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moshe came and told the people all the words of Yahweh and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yahweh has said we will do. And Moshe wrote all the words of Yahweh and rose up early in the morning, built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And what? Why did he have to build 12 pillars? Was that just something he was doing because he just felt like building 12 pillars? No. He knew what 12 represented. He knew what Yahweh desired. He knew Yah's pleasure. Yahweh said Israel is the apple of my eye. And so he would use something to represent the very thing that Yahweh loved. And whether it's 12 pillars or 12 trees or 12 whales or 12 tribes or 12 months, Yahweh would know. Just like we know that it represents us. Show you what kind of glory, what glory stands for. Watch this in Exodus 28. And watch what it says. In the book of Exodus 28, the very first verse. And take you unto Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. And I want you to see the beauty and the glory of these garments. What made them so beautiful? Watch what it says. And you shall speak to all that are wise hearted, whom I fill with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are garments which they shall make: a breastplate, ephod, robe, broidered coat, turban, a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his son, that he may minister me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, or blue, or purple, a scarlet, fine twined linen, with cunning work. It shall have two shoulder pieces. They'll join at two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, or blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And watch what it says. And you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of their names on one stone, and the other six names on the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. So imagine if you had all 12 tribes together, how glorious, how beautiful that would be. These are just replicas and signs of the 12 tribes. But what if you had the 12 tribes? 11 verse. With the work of an engraving stone, like the engravers of a signet, shall you engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. You shall make them to be set in the settings of gold. And you shall put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, for stones of memorial to the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before Yahweh upon two shoulders for a memorial. And you shall make settings of gold, two chains of pure gold at the end. A wreath work shall you make them. Fasten the wreath chains to the setting. And you shall make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, you shall make it gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen shall you make it. Four square, it shall be doubled, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, a span shall be the breadth thereof, and you shall set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row shall row a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row a beryl, an onyx, and jasper. They shall be set in gold in their settings. and the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, everyone with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And why? Because this is our image. Our image is us ourselves. Our image is what Yahweh want to see. And what do Yahweh want to see? 12. Watch what it says. In the 29th verse. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goes into the holy place for a memorial before Yahweh continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goes in before Yahweh. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before Yahweh continually. This is what this 12 represent. This is what this 12 is about. So it don't matter if it's 12 pillars or 12 stones or 12 wells of water like it was in the wilderness and 12 palm trees when they were asking for thirst, complaining about water and something to drink. This is what this 12 is all about. And little do people know how special they really are. Don't even know who they are, what they are, what they represent. They represent the world. Watch this. In the book of 1 Samuel, the second chapter. And I love this. This is a prayer of Hannah. And look what she said. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in Yahweh, the first verse. My horn is exalted in Yahweh. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There's none holy as Yahweh. There's none besides you. Neither is there any rock like our Elohim. Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For Yahweh is an Elohim of knowledge. And by him, actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken. And they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. They that were hungry cease, so that the barren has borne 7, and she that has many children has grown feeble. Yahweh kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and bring it up. Yahweh makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he lifts up. And he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are Yahweh's, and he has set the world upon them. And what do you think those pillars are? And who do you think they are? The 12 tribes. We're the salvation of the world, man. Watch the 9th verse. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of Yahweh shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. Yahweh shall judge the end of the earth, and he shall give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And we know who the anointed of Yahweh is. His people. Why you think all over the book is talking about 12 and how important that is? Watch this. In the book of Deuteronomy, 32. The seventh verse. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided the nations, or divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Do Yahweh have to show you? What do Yahweh have to tell you? What do Yahweh have to speak to you? For Yahweh's portion is his people. Yaakov is the lot of his inheritance. Yes, the 12 tribes of Israel. They've already been since the foundation of the earth. Even the New Testament tell you, even though we don't believe in the New Testament, we don't teach out of the New Testament, we don't adhere to the New Testament, but at least it have enough sense to know how important the 12 tribes is. It says 144,000 shall be saved, 12,000 of each tribe. Now, we don't adhere to no number like that. Yahweh said, and the only reason we don't adhere to a number like that, because Yahweh said our people shall be like the stars of heaven, the sands of the sea, and we don't number Israel unless Yahweh give us a number. Now, the New Testament tells you exactly how many say 144,000. I don't think Yahweh would do that. It says Yahweh told us not to even number Israel. So we don't. But I can understand the significance of why they thought to show you the relevance of 12,000. In each tribe, a 12. Because Yahweh's relationship with the 12 tribes of Israel. The judgment of 12. This is what we have been speaking on. This is what we have been talking about. How important. We don't understand why others don't understand this significance, such as in the book of 1 Kings. Let us turn there. The fourth chapter. 1 Kings, the fourth chapter. And we also talking about this scene that we are in. The 12th month. So 12 seemed to be very relevant. And a lot of things happened in this 12th month. But the most important thing is the 12 tribes of Israel. Watch what it says. 1 Kings 4. The 7th verse. And Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, why 12? Which provided victuals for the king and his household, each man his month in a year made provision. And these are their names. And he will name the officers over the various months during his time, during his life, and during his days as king. His father David did it. He did it also. And what do you think they do after them? Well, the same thing. They will do the same thing. Nothing different. Because 12 is near and dear to Yahweh's heart. It wasn't that the garments that they were making for the priest was just for beauty and glory. Let me show you the true beauty and glory in the garments. It wasn't the garments. It was what was in the garments. And let me show you what it was in the book of Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Isaiah 49. Since we are in the 12th month of this second year, the first day of the 12th month, in the book of Isaiah 49, the very first verse, listen, O isles, unto me, and listen, you people from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he hid me, and said unto me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Yahweh is glorified in Israel. No wonder the breastplate had 12 stones on the front of it. No wonder the shoulder pieces had 6 stones on one side, 6 stones on the other shoulder, written with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. No wonder on the inside of the breastplate, where the Urim and Thummim was, the 12 tribes' names was there. No wonder there's 12 months in a year. No wonder they were, Moses would erect 12 pillars. No wonder they would put 12 stones in the sea to represent the 12 tribes of Israel when they crossed over the Jordan during the time of Joshua. And the last scripture, and I think this one is in the book of 2 Kings. Second Kings. Second Kings, and we're going to read the 1st chapter of 2 Kings. One second. Just want to see how all the various people knew what this 12 represented. And this prophet, Elijah, he was no different. In his 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, I said 2 Kings, but 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, last scripture. And this is what it says. In the book of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, 21st verse. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long hold you between two opinions? This is what we telling everybody. We telling all the leaders, why we got to be of two opinions? We're not going to argue with people just coming back and forth over the internet. And no, we want to sit down with the leaders. We don't have to be of two opinions. If we really want to agree, if we want to walk together, if we want to be united, that's nothing for us to be united. Why? Because Yahweh, there's nothing too hard for Yahweh. We just see it being hard because we're trying to do it of our own mind, of our own will, and we can't find out how we can get together. But if we put our mind on Yahweh, there's nothing too hard for him. Likewise in marriage. A lot of people, they see the man and woman say, man, this thing cannot work. That's because they thinking of their own mind. But if their mind is on Yahweh, there's nothing too hard for Yahweh. Nothing at all. Watch what it says. If Yahweh is Elohim, follow him. But if the deity, then follow him. And the people answer him not a word. Then said Elijah to the people, I only remain a prophet of Yahweh. But the deity prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. And let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And call you on the name of your deities, and I will call on the name of Yahweh. And the Elohim that answers by fire, let him be Elohim. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said to the prophets of the deity, choose you one bullock for yourselves. Dress it first. You are many. And call on the name of your deities, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, dressed it, called on the name of the deity from morning even until noon, saying, the deity hear us. There was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is an Elohim. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud, cut themselves after the manner which knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor anything to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of Yahweh that was broken down. And watch what he did. 31st verse. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of Yahweh came saying, Israel shall be your name. In other words, he knew how to appeal to Yahweh's heart, his sensitivity. That's why Yahweh said, Israel is the apple of my eye. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Yahweh. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, lay him on the wood, and said, fill four barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near him and said, Yahweh Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Yisrael, let it be known this day that you are Elohim in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Yahweh. Hear me that this people may know that you are Yahweh Elohim and that you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of Yahweh fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, Yahweh, he is Elohim. Yahweh, he is the Elohim. And this is what we're telling you this day. Yahweh, he is Elohim. And the 12 tribes are his people. The judgment of 12. Since we are in the 12th month, the first day of the 12th month, let our heart and mind be with Yahweh. Until tomorrow, Yahweh love you. And so do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. Put shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything and to every word spoken. You can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy and his love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.